We're episode 14.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. Cerebral Flex. Nimwin Sakati, Jareth, and all. Hit the like button, subscribe, and share, and love us, okay? We need love. This is episode 14. It's a discussion on basically this censorship world we live in, cancel culture, hypersensitivity, et cetera, et cetera. And this is just a freestyle. This is not a studied or researched or planned. You're about to witness pure improv.
All anecdotal experience.
Woo!
All right. So we kind of have four things we want to touch on. I'm not sure. I can't say if I found like a list somewhere or a Reddit post or I watched a video where they kind of went over these points, but I was like, damn, I want to talk about all of that. So we're going to go over four main things. It's going to be purity tests and woke scolding, cancel culture, gatekeeping, and hypersensitivity. And this is going to be more a discussion on the left and the problems with the left and these four issues. Obviously, the right has its own issues, and I think most of us know what those are. So we're going to talk about what's up with y'all progressives and why you guys such little bitches sometimes.
Well, yeah, why do we all hate each other?
Yes.
You know, and there's so many different kinds of leftists, but the right all grouped together like a boson. We're like a bunch of fermions. We can't even like come into contact. We don't even have valence electrons working for us, man. We just suck.
We just suck.
We need to get together. We need to mobilize, and we have nothing.
So out of the four, is there one you want to touch on first? You just want to go down the list?
I mean, you know me. I'm a very detached person. You know, if you believe in like astrology, I'm an Aquarius. If you believe in MBTI, I'm an INTJ. So it's like, I don't have much time for bullshit. What I consider bullshit. I just want facts. I want truth. I want an efficient result. And I want to get there now. Like, why are we waiting? Like, we have a bunch of heat trapping gases in the atmosphere. We have a bunch of greedy bullies taking over all our money. We have a lot of bad things happening, and everyone wants to stay distracted and talk about like anything other than the elephant in the room, this collapsing world and the greed and the lack of egalitarianism. And everyone wants to rather talk. And I'm not saying it's not important to talk about LB, you know, like gay rights or black and white rights or any of this shit. I'm not saying that that's not a priority. Like, I believe in women's rights. I believe in anyone's rights. I want everyone to be safe and loved and everyone to be included, right? So I have no problem with identity politics or anything like that. I just see that we're running out of resources and we're populating too quickly. We have migration out the wazoo. A lot of people are displaced. A lot of bad things are happening everywhere. You know, I can name all the countries, but you probably wouldn't care because you like to stay distracted. But it's very mind-numbing and frustrating to have most of the populace want to be distracted by movies or what they're buying next or what book they're reading that's fictional or whatever. I mean, we have to fix the problems in the world. And how do we do that without actually caring and actively staying aware? Anyway.
Wow. That was really insensitive of you to speak those types of truths. Identity politics is everything.
I guess. I mean, Black Lives Matter. I get it. I get it. I'm all about like everyone being loved, but yeah, I think there's bigger problems right now, unfortunately.
So I don't think you or I would ever pass any leftist purity test solely because I don't think that you and I ascribe to a lot of things that people care about. We'd rather talk about, like you said, global warming, you know, billionaires taking over the planet, the rights of people as in relation to the state, whereas other people would rather, you know, fight each other about the usage of proper pronouns. And again, I'm not saying, I feel like we're going to say this a lot. So I'm going to stop saying I'm not saying, because everything that I'm arguing against, I believe in. So I believe, like, if you want to be called he, him, she, her, they, them, whatever, you just let me know. You give me a heads up, like, hey, I prefer these. I'll do that. But the hyper focus, especially on the left, of the proper usage of not just pronouns, but of just language policing in general, is one of its biggest problems. And it really hurts any type of progressive movement as far as trying to coalition build with others. What you see on the right is a lot of people on the right, they tend to have very strong coalitions. They don't really care. Like, they're kind of like a big conglomeration of all these different people. There's the your traditional conservative Christians. There's your free marketplace conservatives. There is your openly racist conservatives. There are your nationalist conservatives. There are your Nazi conservatives. And they don't really like care as long as you agree with them on the basic principle of Democrats bad, communism bad, capitalism good. And so they're able to build a much stronger cohesive base because they don't really argue with each other all that much. Whereas all you ever see on the left is people trying to outwoke one another. My biggest issue with the left is the constant woke scolding. We could take somebody like Joe Rogan, for example. Joe Rogan, I would say, having listened to his podcast, he has some views that are probably problematic. I don't think that when people call him a transphobe or a racist and stuff like that, that those are very good arguments. I think that primarily he's a pretty left person with maybe some conservative libertarian ideas. And I think that somebody like that is necessary in leftist space, because when it comes down to standing up and fighting, that's somebody that you would want on your side. What I don't want on my side in a leftist space when the conservatives come to take everybody away and put them in internment camps or whatever fascists want to do. What I don't want on my side is a bunch of, and pardon this trigger word, snowflakes that are going to melt if the conservative uses the wrong pronoun or doesn't have a woke enough ideology. I would much rather have Joe Rogan standing beside me in a fight, somebody with actual moral convictions and beliefs, than somebody who is going to try to cancel someone or ban them off of Twitter because, you know, they have views contrary to their beliefs. I very much believe that if there is somebody who is 80% in alignment with you on what you want politically, then you should welcome them into the circle. So if Joe Rogan's with you on Medicare for all and having a living wage and race issues, but he's not with you on, let's say, men and women using, you know, different bathrooms based on what gender they identify as versus what they were born as, then that's when you break away from him. But until it comes to that issue, why would you not coalition build with people like him? Does that make sense? Am I sounding like a crazy person?
No. I mean, in some instances, people are canceling people before they find out they did any wrong. So, I mean, I agree with canceling people that raped people or people that did horrible things, but I think we jump the gun and we just assume because of, I don't know, maybe someone wasn't sensitive enough when they said something, so they forgot to mention one specific part of the argument, and then you're like, well, you're just coming off as this person, and I'm just going to cyberbully you until you're extinct or want to hurt yourself or some shit. Like, if they're being insensitive, wouldn't it be super hypocritical to be insensitive towards them? And I mean, the worst one in the room needs the hug the most, right?
Yeah.
Voldemort needed love.
Yes.
You know, every bad character, by the way, that I love, Maleficent is my favorite, probably. They treated her like shit, and she got her revenge. Damn straight. I like that. Like, and that's what people end up getting. They get to become very toxic and just down on themselves. And, you know, I'll say something on Facebook, for instance, and I have no harm or intention to, you know, make anyone hurt or in pain. I mean, I'll be open. I said Britney Spears shouldn't procreate, for instance. That's the latest one. And then a bunch of feminists jumped on me saying that I don't care about the autonomy of people's bodies. And I'm like, I don't care if Britney Spears is a man, a woman, if men were the ones having babies and women were the ones that always dominated, I would still say Britney Spears shouldn't procreate. And it's not because I don't think she's mentally stable enough. I don't know where her mental state is. I just know her life is chaotic, right? She's got this whole legal thing going on with her dad. She's still doing concerts, from what I understand. Her life is very stressful, so I don't think bringing a kid into that situation would be healthy. And they're like, well, who are you to say? And I'm like, everyone's allowed their opinion, man. Everyone can have their own fucking opinion, right? And it's the moment when we stop people from being able to even have an opinion, we're stopping free thought. You can't not stop freedom of thought. And I think, you know, a lot of people shouldn't procreate. You know, myself included, I probably shouldn't have procreated. I mean, that's just how I feel. I'm allowed to feel how I feel, you know? And people jump down your throat about shit like that. But, like, I'm very into women having their own rights. I believe women are actually superior. I think they're smarter than men. I think they care far less about sex, so they're able to focus on other things more. I think they're amazing. They handle a lot of burden and stress that the men have created and all the bullshit war and whatever. It's women that glue us all together, you know? So I would never be anti-female ever, you know? I came out of one. So I just don't understand, like you said, if I'm 80% aligned with your political affiliations, why are you trying to cancel me on this? Like, why are you trying? Oh, man, someone said I was, like, sounding like I was about eugenics. And, like, I guess some ways I am. I'll be honest. Like, I think that there should be a board and there should be, you know, certain people are too dumb to have kids. But we allow everyone to have kids. We allow everyone to do whatever they want, right? Because it's about freedom. It's about liberty. So
no, it's what not. That
does is overrun the planet with morons. Yeah, good job. I mean, great plan. And then dumb people fucking, well, they fuck more than smart people. They have, like, less jobs, they have more free time, and they don't have any money to go out and entertain themselves, so they have sex. And that leads to disease. It leads to more kids that do the same stupid shit.
Yep.
And you want to continue this cycle and say that I'm wrong for questioning it? Like, no, I'm sick of the world being overtaken by morons is what I am sick of. And I'm not, I wouldn't force people not to have it. If I was a dictator, I guess I would be like, hey, guys, could you reconsider? Or here's some protection. I don't think I'd go into, like, full out sterilization. I don't know. Maybe I would. But either way, I think that there's too many stupid people on Earth. That part I am certain of.
I agree.
And I might be one of them. Who knows? You know, like, who knows? I just think that, you know, so many kids are born into poverty. I think the highest percentage is born into poverty, right?
Yep.
So there's got to be something that changes. You can't just, like, give social programs, you can band-aid the situation and, you know, mm-hmm. hope people make it out of the ghetto. Like, what, 2% of people make it out of a ghetto?
Stupid. If that.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them don't ever leave the neighborhood. They don't even go downtown. They're like, stuck in that. It's called a trap for a reason, right?
Yep.
But whatever.
It goes back to the same issue of that we talk about quite a bit, which is this issue of people not wanting to focus on things that are actual issues and actually coming to systemic change. Like, instead of actually helping, you know, black communities, instead you go online and you woke scold people who don't identify with the black experience or maybe have some hot takes on some experiences that black people might have. And you want to cancel them when really you should be making them allies. And if somebody has views that are reprehensible, you should condemn their reprehensible views. What you don't go do is go about trying to cancel them and censor their free speech. Because the moment you start censoring free speech, all these bad ideas stop getting spoken. Because right now we have free speech laws that are slowly getting whittled away. And people are able to just say their stupid shit out into the ether. Like, oh, you know, I don't think that... I think white people are superior. I think that IQ is actually scientifically, you can prove that IQ is different by race. And they can say this stupid nationalist, white, racist, homophobic, whatever you want to call shit out into the ether. They can just say it out loud and it can be on the internet and everyone can see it. The minute you guys start censoring people, which has been happening with social media programs like Facebook, Twitter, and stuff like that, the minute you start censoring these bad ideas and you start taking conservatives offline, what happens is those bad ideas, they're not being spoken out loud anymore. So now it goes underground, and now it becomes a lot more dangerous and nefarious. And then they find cute new little ways to talk about their race baiting and stuff, and they use memes like Pepe or the OK sign, or, you know, they're constantly changing and shifting. And meanwhile, you've gone into this, we got to ban all the conservatives. Well, now that we've gotten rid of all the conservatives, who's the next most nefarious people? And you're starting to see that now with Twitter and Facebook banning left-wing groups, anybody espousing like the ideas of communism and socialism and such. They're getting banned in droves off of Twitter and Facebook. There was actually a really popular communist socialist worker party on Facebook for the American workers that recently got banned. So in trying to cancel everyone around you, you wind up canceling yourself at some point, because at some point there's nobody else to cancel. And that's my... a really big issue that the left has. And it goes into like that hypersensitivity of, I want to feel safe. And everybody should feel safe. But if you want to be free and you want to have freedom, you have to accept a certain amount of danger at the end of the day. You don't get freedom without danger. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't live a life that's free of danger and free of discrimination and free of sexism and stuff like that. But if you want to be free, you're going to inherently have a small bit of danger in your life. And if you can't accept that, then you should probably just live in a bubble and stay in your room and try to cancel people on Twitter and not go out into the real world, because that is not reality. A lot of the issues that we fight over aren't things that are going to make this world a better place for ourselves or future generations. The planet is literally burning. We're having the hottest summer that we've had in a very long time. The West and East Coast are like on fire right now. And instead, we have people going online getting upset because somebody said the word fag. I would rather have somebody who says occasional slurs like fag or retard on my side and agrees with me on 95% of issues than somebody who cannot take somebody saying those slurs, who agrees with me 100% of the way. Because again, it goes back to not just coalition building, but at the end of the day, there's going to be a fight. There's eventually going to be a collision of the left and the right. And if all you have on the left are a bunch of oversensitive people who cannot deal with reality as it is, then you're going to lose. The left's already lost. If we look at the way that the United States is being run right now, it is a conservative right-wing government. There's a far right wing and there's a right wing. Progressivism is laughed and scoffed at because the left eats itself and it doesn't coalition build. Instead of trying to get progressives to unite with the Green Party, to unite with the People's Party, to unite with Black Lives Matter, to unite with trans organizations and stuff like that, you have all these insular, isolated groups fighting for their one specific issue instead of all coming together and forming a very broad coalition, and trying to actually fight for progressive change. So the left has lost the battle, and it is eating itself alive. And as we continue to eat ourselves alive through these purity tests and these woke scolds and cancel culture and all that, the right gets stronger and fascism grows and nationalism grows. And the country gets worse and the world gets worse because of it. So that is like the biggest issue in the left, is this cancel culture, purity testing, gatekeeping stuff, because you'll have these communities on the left that will exclude certain people based off of, for instance, some leftists like guns, and they think that you should have the right to bear arms. So you keep them out of your community because they agree with you on all the social issues, but the gun rights. So you keep them out and you exclude them. And then slowly you start finding things within your group that you can exclude people for. Oh, well, this person, he refers to women as chicks. So, you know, that's being misogynistic. And instead of, you know, trying to help him change his language or whatever like that, we're going to get rid of him. He's not allowed in the group. And then it slowly becomes this very insular group, and where you guys continue to fight with each other. And it's stupid. It's stupid, and it doesn't have any actual effect on the real world or change anything. Thoughts? You're muted.
Sorry about that. I think it's natural. I mean, the left is more passionate by design. The right is more into tradition and bowing to an authoritarian regime, whereas leftists tend to be more individualistic. Mm-hmm. So I understand why leftists are more passionate and you know, serious about their views. So if, say, you are primarily a feminist and that is your main drive, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You're going to start canceling people that say chick or aren't sensitive or say Britney Spears shouldn't have a baby. If you are more in about green like me, like I do care about identity politics, don't get me wrong, but if your first words aren't talking about the earth, I probably won't hang out with you. If your main focus isn't about the earth, I probably won't hang out with you. And I agree, that's not good. It's not a good behavior to have. But I definitely am guilty of it. And I see that, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, some people are more about gay rights, more, you know, trans rights. Some people are purely about that movement. Some people are purely about the vegetarian movement. But there's a lot of movements on the left that take you 100% into them, like that envelop you. But I do understand we need a broader coalition and have multiple focuses like the right does, because they're like anti-immigration, you know, they're anti, you know, they're anti-gay. They don't want to say it out loud. They're anti other races. They also don't want to say that out loud. Because if, you know, you sound like them and act like them, they'll let you in just so they can say, look, here's our token brown person, you know, mm-hmm. and they feel like they've achieved something.
Candace Owens is an infuriating individual anyway.
But I understand why we're not as cohesive as the left, based on how we're psychologically different, how we're more individual based. We are artists. We're, you know, we're dreamers. You know, Willy Wonka was very isolationist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's how a lot of us are. We're eccentric, and it's hard to bond with certain things if you're like 100% passionate about something, you know? Like, I'm like, hey, guys, everyone, the earth is burning. The earth is burning. And everyone's just like, gay rights. I'm like, yeah, that's great. I mean, there's parades. Where are the earth parades, man? Where are the, I want to save the earth parades with like everything green and the kids all talking about green this, green that. Like, it's just so not focused on.
It's not focused on issues that affect the everyday person.
It does, though. It's going to affect the every tomorrow person.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They're not focusing on that. They're focusing on, you know, who's more woke than one another.
Yeah.
And that's the internet has made us more ridiculous and more isolationist too, because the internet's good and bad. Because like on the internet, you can find like a group of people who think exactly like you, or pretty much exactly like you, and then you like build this like tight knit group, and you're like, everyone's like us. And then you go out to the broader world and you're like, holy fuck, no, everybody's not like us. And that's life, sweetheart. I'm sorry if I seem insensitive, but like, get your shit together. I'm so over the hypersensitivity. I'm a good example. All right. Here's a good example. And this is gonna, I've argued with people in my personal life about this. People don't see it that way. That's fine. I'll get hate for it. I don't care. So we had the Me Too movement, right? We have Me Too. All these people are coming out and getting canceled. Disgusting pigs like Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, like just bad dudes. Louis C.K. I mean, he was being inappropriate. I could have arguments for or against
him. What did he do again? I forgot.
Oh, you're really gonna make me get into it. All right. So Louis C.K., he got in trouble because he would tell people like, hey, I'm gonna do it in front of you. And they'd be like, ha, okay, yeah, all right. Like thinking he was joking. And then he'd pull it out and he'd actually do it.
Yeah, that's not good.
Which I don't think is good. It's kind of like a weird, not good. It's a weird kink. But like also at the same time, you could argue like he kind of warned him like, yo, I'm going to do this. And you could have left. But like, yeah, this is a weird. It's weird. All right. There's a hot take. Go ahead. Clip that. Put it on Twitter. Cancel me. It's fine.
No, I mean, he was funny, but you can't do that. You cannot do that. You can't. Even if I warn you, I'm going to whip it out and start masturbating.
All right.
If I did it, it's still illegal.
If I'm in a room. All right. And I'm like, yo, all right, I'm starting to get like feel weird. I got to do something about this. Y'all can stay and watch if you want, but I'm going to do this now. So here's your warning. Go ahead, get out. And you stay. I feel like that's a little bit on you.
Interesting. I'd be like, go to the fucking bathroom, man.
Well, that's why I think it's like a weird kink. Like, I think he enjoyed people watching. I don't know. I don't personally.
Well, he should have been more clear with them. He said, I swear to God, up and down on my life, I'm going to whip out my dick and I hope you enjoy it. Do you enjoy when people whip out their dicks and masturbate in front of you? And then if you go emphatically, yes, please do, then you have the green light to do something like that. But if someone doesn't give you the green light,
I agree.
You keep that shit in your pants.
Well, there was also a woman who claimed like, that she could obviously hear him doing it on the phone with her. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's a little bit more egregious.
Well, that could have been pre-recorded. There's no way to prove that.
Anyway, my broader point I was getting to. Ben Affleck, right? No, Ben Affleck, he's problematic. Poor Ben. But he came out during this Me Too stuff and he was like, yes, I am an advocate for women's rights. Like, I think that this shit's wrong. It's fucked up. It is definitely a problem. And then people came out and they were like, but like in the 90s, you were being interviewed with this girl and you grabbed her boob. We're canceling you. And Ben was like, ah, I mean, I'm sorry about that. And they were like, no, you're a terrible human being who should be burned along with Harvey Weinstein, who literally raped people. And Ben was like, all right, I'm out. And instead of having like a celebrity who could, you know, advocate for women, because he made one mistake that he apologized for. And he came out and he was like, hey, like, yeah, raping people is bad. They were
what
like,
was
no,
his excuse?
You grabbed, oh, he's just dumb and stupid. It was when he was like first coming up as an actor. And it was also, right. I think we don't think of context at the time, like, and that's not really an excuse, but it was in the 90s, and in the 90s, things were just weirder and different, and they weren't as like hypersensitive as now. And obviously, even if it was in the 90s, you shouldn't just grab somebody's boob without telling them.
What was her reaction? I mean, maybe did they have a past, like,
I don't remember.
Flirtatious relationship?
I don't remember. I think it was like a ha 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 type of thing. Like, what are you doing? Like, he obviously, I mean, if you just grab someone's boob without telling them, like, in any situation, it's going to make them feel uncomfortable more than likely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the exact context of it. But my broader point was, you had somebody who's an advocate who'd kind of been like, you know, sorry, like, I, that what I did was wrong, but like, I agree with women and I want to fight for you. And they were like, no, no, you're not allowed because you did this one thing. Yeah. And that's not good. Because I feel like also when it comes to the left and this gatekeeping and cancel culture and woke scolding, what they're doing is they're actually radicalizing a lot of people to the opposite end of the spectrum. Because you're not only are you not trying to explain to people what they're doing might be wrong or the error of their ways or whatever. Or again, like, even if they don't agree with you on a certain issue, but they agree with you on all these other ones, or are malleable to being molded to agree with you on all these other ones, this purity testing bullshit is just turning people off because they're like, again, Ben Affleck, like, I agree, like, women should have autonomy over their bodies, and you know, it's wrong what Harvey Weinstein's doing, and Hollywood has a rape epidemic going on, and we need to talk about it. And they're like, no, you grabbed the titty. Grabbed a titty once. You're bad. You should be burned and hung with Harvey Weinstein. He's like, all right, fuck, I'm out.
Well, I mean, I would agree that men are mostly scum. We're mostly dogs. We think sexually a lot. I've done a lot of questionable things and flirtatious things and things I shouldn't have done. I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
But
I think everybody can say that.
I would say, yeah, if you're a feminist movement, it'd be hard to have a man pure enough to roll with you. Because if you're like pure feminist, like, you're not going to want a guy that grabbed a titty on your side. But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Because if he's...
Well, you also now have third wave feminism or intersectional feminism, where like, it's not just feminism fighting for just women's rights, but the rights of everybody, including men. You know what I mean?
Interesting. What is that called?
I think it's called intersectional feminism.
Interesting.
There's lots of titles and stuff.
There are a lot. And I think that's another problem with the left, is we just have so many different groups.
So many groups, so many labels. but man, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? But anyway, so it radicalizes people. I really think it does. And I think you have a lot of young, misguided men who find people like Ben Shapiro or people who aren't as problematic but can lead to problematic things like Jordan Peterson. And they find these, like, they're already lost and they're trying to find these father figures. And they find these father figures on the internet. And they're like, let's look at this compilation 71 of all these woke leftist libtards breaking down and melting over stupid shit. And they're like, yeah, because they've had experiences with people trying to like cancel them and woke scold them and keep them out. And they're like, yeah, you know, I agree more with Ben Shapiro that leftists are ridiculous crybabies who just want to like throw everyone in a gulag who doesn't agree with them. And then they get radicalized, and then they go down the rabbit hole with Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder and all these really nefarious right-wing people who, you know, they're racist nationalists and they have these keywords, and then they go down that path and it's very bad. And I think a lot of young men especially would benefit from the left being more open and understanding and maybe more educational to them instead of trying to shame them.
Yeah. I mean, we had these debates in my hometown Urbana a lot. And one of my friends and I concluded we're more militant leftists. Like, we want the super lovey-dovey, super, super inclusive people right in the center of the population, but the borders of hippie world or leftist world should be protected by someone that believes in security, defense, you know, like the more,
you know what, the enemies of the left need to have meme lords. That's what they need to have. They need to have people who are going to go out there when the conservatives come and are going to make all the soft hippie people like melt down and have a breakdown. And they need to be like, no, that's not happening. You need a harder shell on the outside of the leftist community. That is something that they need. Yes. You need people who are very extreme, not in a violent way, in their ideology, who are going to go to bat for you and fight.
Yeah. Yeah. You need less emotional leftists protecting the super emotional leftists is how I see it. I mean, there needs to be reality. You can't just have everything you want. Like, I might say some things you don't like sometimes, but believe I'm on your side. That's the thing. I have to like fucking like prove to people or something that I'm on their side. I shouldn't have to prove that. You've known me for how long? You know, I love all animals, plants, everything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the problem with me is I see that one of those species of animal is terrorizing the world and all the other species of animals. So it's like, it's hard for me to see the benefit of exponential population growth. So like that whole birthing thing, like that debate is hard for me because I don't think that having more babies is a good idea. I don't think everyone should be given the freedom to have babies because we have too many fucking babies.
I mean, the world's literally getting warmer because there's more people on it.
I mean, if we stop using heat trapping gases right now, it would still take 3 decades before the oceans stopped releasing heat. Mm-hmm. And that's if we stop now, which is not even possible.
To be fair, though, as far as the birthing thing goes, less and less people are having kids that aren't in third world countries. And that, I think that's a broader problem that we have, is that we don't give enough support to third world countries in terms of basic health care and contraceptives and stuff like that. But on average, if you look at especially Europe and now in America, people on average are having less kids. Or if they are having kids, they're only having like 1 to 2, which is why they've enacted things like this child tax credit where they're giving you, I think it's $3,600 for every kid over the age of 6. And it's like, I don't remember the exact numbers. But as far as like more developed civilizations go, they're on average having less kids. Less people are also on average getting married and stuff like that. Just because it's expensive. It's expensive to do.
I gave you that link just to say that we've grown 43.9 million just in this year. Net population growth. You know?
Yeah.
So this is not sustainable. This is not okay. Just today, 170,000 babies were born. And it's not even 11 a.m. It's upsetting.
I don't understand how they calculate this accurately, though.
I mean, it's based on an algorithm and using a bunch of other data points. It's just, you know, large data analytics. They just stuff a bunch of numbers together and they figure out the pattern. It's like meteorology.
But I mean, on average, the West is having a lot less kids.
I hope so. All I know is I should just give up because we're screwed. I think it's over. I should stop giving a shit what you're about. If you're for guns, if you're for immigration, if you're anti-immigration. I don't like if you're anti-gay because I don't think you should be anti-anyone. If you're anti-black people or like you're one of these morons that thinks all black people are stupid or all black people are obnoxious, I probably won't talk to you. And if you are one of those people that says fag, I don't think I'd talk to you. I mean, that's just... I mean, like, you don't have the sensitivity enough or wherewithal not to say that. I mean, that's a problem for me, even if you did agree with a lot of things I believed in. Because, I mean, that's just showing your disrespect for a whole population of people, you know? Like, I'm just not anti-anyone. So it's bad for me to be around anyone that says nigger or anyone that says, you know, anyone that says anti-white things. The same shit. It's like, I don't like anti-people people. I'm anti-anti-people. Anti-people. I don't know what you would call it. But if you're
so,
a hater, it's
so
a problem.
Somebody like is, let's say a gamer, because gamers use a lot of not nice language, right?
No, I've been totally guilty of using the F-bomb playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And that was like years ago, but I still am feeling bad about it, you know?
Right. But so
there's a camper.
Someone occasionally, like, and maybe it's not even like in public conversation, right? Like, you know, someone who's a gamer and they might occasionally, you know, rage quit a game or something, or they've died too many times in Call of Duty and they might use the F word, right? We're going to say fag, because it's
the word we're talking about.
The word we're talking about, because the F word could be many words. And I don't think that most people think that the word, and this could just be me, but I don't think most people, when I think of that word, I don't think of anti-gay at all. I think of it along the same lines of like retard, which you're also not allowed to say. And I am very guilty of using the word retard. It's not a good word. I try not to use it, but it comes out. And so if they do this in their like private day-to-day life, but like they're super big on gay rights and trans rights, but sometimes they use that word, that slur, I don't see them as an enemy. And I don't have a problem with that. If it makes me uncomfortable that they use that word, I would let them know, you know?
Yeah.
Just like I've met white people who will, you know, they'll drop the N-bomb with the A, not with the R, because oof, then we'd have a different conversation. But I'm like, that doesn't make me comfortable when you do that. Like, could you just
They rapping to music?
They could be rapping to music, or they meet one of their really good friends and they're like, you know, what's up, my?
Okay, so see, that part to me, I've never been super sensitive about. If you're listening to music and you're singing to a song, that's how the song goes. And well, like, to not be able to say, like, sing a song because you're a certain race, that to me is censorship, right?
Well, have you seen that one video where Kendrick Lamar, he brings a white girl up on stage, and he's, because sometimes he'll bring members of the audience up on stage to rap with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he brings her up on stage, and like they're getting really into it, and she's singing the lyrics, and then she drops the N-word, and then he stops, and he's like, no, you can't say that word, and like he kicks her off stage and absolutely humiliates her.
No.
Like, I don't
I did
like
not
that.
Think Kendrick would do that.
I don't like that, because I don't like the use of the N-word at all. I understand that, you know, people want to take it back and it means something different now, but you know, it means something to the black community, and white people shouldn't say it. I just don't like the use of the word. I don't think it's an entirely necessary word to use. And especially when it comes to like music and lyrics and stuff like that, like it's like a weird space for like a white person who cares about like black rights and activism and stuff like that. Like, is it appropriate to do that? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm in the car and I'm singing along and it accidentally, like, I know the lyrics to the song and accidentally slips out, I'm like, is that make you a bad person? Does it make you a bad person if you're singing a song, like if me and you were sitting together and I was rapping with you to one of your raps and the N-word comes up and I say it with you? Is that wrong? Is that bad? Like,
no, I
it's
think
a weird
think,
moral place to be in.
I mean, know? Honestly, as a rapper, there was a time in my life where every one of my friends was my nigga. And there was not a single person that wasn't, if you're in my circle, you're my nigga. And it doesn't matter if you're white, you're black, you're Hispanic, your race doesn't matter.
Right.
And I didn't care if you said it back. And that was a tribal thing for us. We were our own tribe.
Right.
So that's how that works. Like, I don't think it's necessarily bad. I think it makes me uncomfortable when certain people say it, because I know they're not one of my niggas. You know, so that's I don't know. That's a touchy one for me, because
see, all right.
In music, you should be allowed to speak your mind. Mm-hmm. You should be allowed, if you want to write down the word faggot, if you want to write down the word even nigger, if you want to write a racist rap and be a white racist rapper, it's music, it's art. You should be allowed to express yourself in art however you see fit, because that's not physically hurting anyone. Right. I mean, maybe it could radicalize some people to physically hurt someone else. That's another discussion.
Well, like,
I
think let's talk about in context. Left alone. Let's talk about in like another context here. This is already demonetized, so God, people are going to clip this one day, and I'm going to regret it. So Marilyn Manson on Antichrist Superstar. One of the first songs. Let me get the name of the song so I don't fuck that up. In one of the first songs, he's trying to make this point. Sorry, let me pull this up. It's called The Irresponsible Hate Anthem. Marilyn Manson, super controversial figure, talks about politics and all that stuff. And in the song, Marilyn Manson's white as fuck. In the song, he says, "Everybody is somebody else's nigger. I know I am, so are you." And that's a white person dropping a hard R. But if you look at the broader contextual point of what he is saying, he's actually saying something pretty profound.
That he's everyone is someone's slave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even, not even somebody's slave, but like some people might look at me like slave owners looked at, you know, black people back in the day. You know, somebody right. is always going to be somebody else's punching bag or somebody that they look down on.
Right.
So yeah, when it comes to art, it's definitely way more tricky and controversial.
Not even like in the 30s, like we used to have all sorts of songs and poems and coming from all races. And I feel like even in the 70s, up into the 70s, mm-hmm. and like Richard Pryor times and like Robin Williams heyday, like comedians would say whatever the fuck they felt, and it was funny. It was funny. Yeah. And now you can't do it. You can't yeah. you can't go on stage and say what you think is funny about white people or what you think is funny about black people based on your race, which is stupid. Like, you should be able to say however you think every race is funny. Like, I think I'm mixed, so I have a kind of green, I have a free pass for this, but I think the whole censorship on that is stupid. You know, like we did a thing on Vocalo when I was on the radio. We did a little joking skit thing where we were going back and forth, me and this other rapper, and we were talking about what was funny about black people, for instance. And we're like, well, they have, you know, they live in the hood, most of them, and they have small homes, but then they have $8,000 rims on each tire and like $200, $300 worth of clothing when they go out in public, right? And yeah. like chains and shit, and everything they're driving and wearing is worth four of their homes. And how impractical that is. And what kind of mindset is that? And then the other one was like, well, then white people, they go out to Whole Foods wearing nothing but dirty pajamas with sandals while they're driving their S550 Benz. And you look yeah. over at the stoplight and they're picking their nose. And it's like, why are they like this trash in a nice car? And then like this luxury in a shit house. Like, the differences are stupid.
Like, yeah.
Like the guy in the $300 worth of clothes should be in the bins, and the woman in the dirty pajamas picking your nose should be in the fucking hoopty.
I agree. So yeah, I mean, again, back to
the like, funny things.
Back to the point of like, you know, you're not gonna accept people into the fold who might occasionally like use some type of slur. And I mean, you can make them aware of it. Like I said, I make people aware, like, I don't really like that. Like, I don't think less of you if you use it. Like, if that's what you do with your friends, you know, what's up, my guy? Like, it is what it is. But like, if I know you as like a person and I know you don't have like hate in your heart for black people or you're not racist and stuff like that, like, why am I going to like woke police you? Same like if you use the word faggot every once in a while and you're using it like, oh, like that guy, he's being a faggot. And you mean it in like, oh, he's being like a retard or he's being stupid. Or, you know, I think that's contextually how most people use it nowadays. Like if you do that, like, yeah, maybe it's not cool. But if you're going to get in the streets and you're going to, you know, work on making sure that gay people can continue to get married and have rights in this country, and that trans people can use whatever bathroom that they want to and transition without discrimination, and that these people are allowed in the military and they're allowed to lead lives that are the same as any heterosexual person, then I don't have a problem with you. I welcome you into my group with open arms, because again, when the conservatives come and the fascists come and, you know, they're ready to beat the black people down into the streets, you know, I don't want the hypersensitive snowflake who can't take somebody saying a slur on my side. I want the guy who could say a slur and take a punch on my side. Mm-hmm. I want somebody in the streets who's going to fight with me and stand up, and who has a thick skin for when the conservative and the nationalist throws out the N-word, they're not just going to fall over and faint. They're going to fight back. You know what I mean? That's what I think the biggest problem.
The best thing is education. If we gently educate one another and tell the other person that says that word, that language is evolving, please join the fold. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's fine. I think it's the shaming part that I hate. Like the, oh my God, did you just say that? Like, what a horrible person. Like that type of attitude is bullshit.
Well, and you see this language being translated into the workplace now too. Like if you ever have to take any type of HR training, I know you work at like a private business, so you haven't had to do it in a while, but like I work.
We don't have HR at my job.
Yeah. Your boss can get away with saying whatever he feels like, and there's nothing you can do.
I don't think I should have to do anything. People should be able to say what they want to say.
Agreed.
You know, he's not hurting anyone,
but that we know of anyway. but no. So like, if you go like to like modern, like businesses nowadays, and you look at HR and all that, like the amount of like language policing that is used to create contention within the workplace even it's ridiculous. Like everything, it gets co-opted into nefarious means. So like this cancel culture, hypersensitivity, it translates over to the workplace into this training where like anything you say or do that could be misconstrued as harassment. And let's be very clear. There are things that are definitely like sexual harassment or racial harassment, stuff like that. But the soft language gets co-opted by the corporations who then continue to further divide us. Twitter probably loves the fact that it disenfranchises the left from working together, because then the left can't bond together and make Twitter a public utility where they can't just ban people indiscriminately. Facebook probably loves the fact that the left is eating itself alive and that they're not going to Congress and trying to make Facebook a public utility that allows all forms of speech up on it, because they want to stay in control and they want to have their ad revenue. And the left honestly gets gaslit and co-opted a lot. You see it with all these people who, most recent example, vote for Joe Biden. We got to vote for Joe Biden so we can push him left. We got to vote for Joe Biden to push him left. We got to do it. Got to do it. Got to get Trump out of office. Get Biden in there. And then we're going to push him left. We can't do Bernie. Bernie can't beat Trump. He's too progressive. People aren't ready for that. Vote for Biden. All right. So we vote for Biden. And then what happens? The left immediately goes to sleep. Our guy won. We're good. What happened to pushing him left? Biden promised the $15 minimum wage and canceling student debt. Those were the two big progressive things we got out of him, which aren't that progressive. They're pretty much accepted by mainstream standards. We can't even get that. There's been no talk of canceling student debt, and they dropped $15 minimum wage right away. Not even going to fight for it. So
what is our minimum wage?
Our minimum wage, I believe, is $7.75 or $8.25.
It's $7.25 still?
What is the federal?
What the fuck?
It's $7.25 an hour.
Oh my God. Yeah, we don't care about people in this country.
No. So it's $7.25 an hour. And there's even like when the talk of $15 minimum wage came up for like the 2 weeks that it was going to be a thing with the stimulus package, they were like, no, we can't do 15. That's too high. What about 10? What about 11? Like, the left isn't good at negotiating, because they talk about like $15 minimum wage. First of all, you can't live off a $15 minimum wage in most cities.
It's better anywhere than 725. In
America. It is better than 725. But if you actually wanted to get $15 minimum wage and have it be accepted by people, you would start out somewhere ridiculous. Like, I want a $25 an hour minimum wage. Oh no, fuck, that's way too high. My mother, who's a nurse who went to school for several years, she makes $25 an hour, which that's ridiculous.
How long has she done it too? Probably over 10 years.
I think if you combine before she became a parent and then she stopped working for about 15-ish years, it's probably been over 10 years of hospice care and stuff like that. I mean, she just recently got her schooling and recertification finished like in the past couple years. But like combined, she went to school when she had me and she was a respiratory therapist, stuff like that. So she's had previous schooling and experience. So if you combine it all together, it's $15 an hour. And in Illinois, where we are, she's only making about $25 an hour, which that's ridiculous. To take care of humans, to work 16-hour shifts taking care of people on your feet all day.
Yep.
That is nothing. So you start somewhere ridiculous, like $25 an hour, and then you negotiate your way down. You don't go into a car dealership and you're like, this is how much I'm gonna spend. This is it. That's all I can spend. You wouldn't do that because that's stupid. The left is terrible at negotiating.
Wait, you would not go into a car dealership and say this is the most I'm willing to spend?
Yeah, because then what are you're not going to get the best deal possible because they're going to be like, that's that guy's limit right there.
Oh, well, yeah, I went in negative and said, you know, at $320 a month, that's the most I can spend, knowing I could spend more than $400.
Exactly.
That's what I did. And exactly. I did not. They made it $319.95.
Yeah.
It's those assholes.
But no, so we're terrible at negotiating and we're terrible about educating people because, again, it's this hypersensitivity. Yes, the right has its meltdowns. The right has its dumbass Ben Shapiro's and Tommy Lawrence who freak out when somebody kneels on a football field. But you guys are just as bad, if not worse. It is so toxic to be part of the left that it's literally radicalizing people against the left. Because, again, if we weren't so fucking crazy about language policing and conduct policing and stuff like that, and we were building broader coalitions, then people would be more amicable to left ideas. But we don't, because we freak out about everything.
How would you bring people together? How would you make people more accepting of one another?
You can't. On the left? How would I do it?
Yeah. Like, what? How do we fix this problem?
How do we fix this problem?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Because are we not language policing now? Are we not doing the same thing, but on a metacognitive prospect? Like, they're policing the ones that might say slurs, and we're policing them for policing the slur users?
Well, no, because like, we want to be a part of the left, and we consider ourselves a part of the left, whether they want us or not. Like,
right, but have our ideologies. Like, do we want them, the policing ones? Like, I'm fine with them. I just think they're annoying.
I agree. I'm fine with them too, and I do find them very annoying, and I want them to grow the fuck up, because I think a lot of them are privileged.
Yeah, they are. Most of them come from money, I've noticed.
A lot of them are privileged, and they don't actually try to focus on real issues. And I think that is one of the bigger issues, is that we don't educate people enough on what canceling does and how it radicalizes people against us, but we also don't educate people who might have problematic issues or views, and we don't accept people that have contrary views to us. Again, I'm not a big advocate of guns. I don't like them. I don't think they're necessary. We have a military that, you know, if Biden decided today, everybody give up your guns, you could fight, you'd lose 100%. I mean, they've militarized the police. We're pretty much our police state. They're just waiting for some big social crisis to happen before they lock it down. You saw that with Black Lives Matter last year. But so, like, I'm not a big gun advocate. I don't really think that you should have guns. I don't see a purpose or utility in them aside from hunting. But if you're a leftist who agrees with everything, like, economically and socially that I want, but you want your guns, and maybe sometimes when you play Xbox and you're playing Halo and you get killed one too many times, you call someone a retard, I'm fine with you. You're good. We're good. When it comes to the issue of guns, we'll diverge on that. But on every other thing, I want you by my side fighting. And I think people just honestly, they need to evaluate themselves, which they're not going to do. And they need to self-reflect, which they're not going to do because that's hard. And realize that they're being hypocritical and ridiculous, and begin reaching out and building a broader coalition. To fix it, I don't think that you really can fix the left in the state that it's in currently. I think you need a lot more controversial figures on the left, like a Ben Shapiro or Tucker Carlson or something like that. Somebody who's not afraid to say what they're going to say, and who doesn't really give a shit if, you know, half the left disagrees with them or not. Which is kind of like my philosophy and approach to the left. Like, I'll be respectful of you, and I'll talk with you, and I'll do things that make you comfortable. But the minute you start being irresponsible and oversensitive and ridiculous, like, gloves off.
Well, yeah, just watch how you approach me is how I think. Like, if you come at me with shaming and you're not doing it in a nice, friendly way, like, you respect me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, how you jump to, I'm straight fascist, I'm a Nazi if I think, like, someone shouldn't have a kid? Like, come on.
And you were, and to be fair, in the context of this conversation, you weren't saying, I am imposing my will upon Brittany. She should not have kids. It was an opinion you had.
And that's just one conversation out of so many. Yeah. Out of so many on Facebook I've had. Yeah. Where I just say one thing that's not in alignment with whatever they're about. And it's like, they jump down my throat like I'm the enemy. I'm like, wait, we grew up together.
Yes.
You know I'm not the enemy. So it's like, why?
Well, we've worked together for years. Or
Yeah, like, what the hell?
I was recently... I can't exactly remember, but I can't even remember the context of it, but yeah, like, essentially someone accused me of not caring about racism. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you've known me for over a decade. Like, how do you not know that I'm an advocate for, like, just listen to my podcasts. I've done episodes on Black relations, on the indigenous people. Like, what are you? You're being a ridiculous human right now.
I think people confuse thinking types, like you and I, that analyze broad things. Mm-hmm. Like, we look at history as an entirety. So it's like, we're not nitpicky about one certain event necessarily.
Yeah.
And they want us to be butthurt about whatever. Like, that's probably a slur, butthurt, a slur. I don't even know anymore.
Probably.
Either way,
it doesn't matter at this point. We've already been canceled by the two people that watch us.
Hey man, shout out to MJ and Julia. You're still with us. Love you guys.
Yeah, but yeah, as far as fixing the left, I don't think you can fix the left until you start to honestly radicalize a lot of people. I think the left hyper focuses again on like one issue, and there's so many issues, and there's so many small issues that people focus on that, again, they don't think like us in a broader context. Like, I wouldn't really consider myself a leftist. Like, in this country, as far as like ideologies and stuff go, I would be considered left, but I don't believe in a state. I don't believe in borders. I don't believe in capitalism or governmental oversight at all.
Yeah, that's extreme leftist in this country.
Yeah, that's considered like anarcho whatever. I'm essentially what most people I would say, and I hate labels, and I feel like the left has a problem with labeling everyone. I don't really consider myself an anarchist, but I guess that's what most people would say I am. I think that global capitalism is terrible for the planet, and it's terrible for people. Good things have come out of capitalism, and I can recognize that. As far as like the advancement of technology and medical technology, there are some good things capitalism has done, but overall it has hurt the earth and it has hurt people drastically. I enjoyed that joke that's going around right now on TikTok with some of the meme lords on the left, where if you go left enough, if you go far enough to the left, you get your guns back.
Like if you go far enough down the road of science, God returns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's, right? I got titled by David Dellinger, a political activist. Awesome man. He took me out to dinner. I had a teacher, Dr. Hannah, that introduced me to him. He was one of the Chicago 7 or Chicago 8, mm-hmm. who fought alongside Bobby Seale and Abby Hoffman and people like that.
That's awesome.
And he said I was a communo-anarcho-primitivist. And I do agree with that, except for the primitivist aspect. I love technology. I just think that we can make technology in a more green way. I don't know what we're going to do with all these microchips and all this silicone and all this, you know, everything we're pulling up from Africa and China and all these places we're getting rare earths. I don't know how we're going to recycle any of this in an effective manner. So far, we're just shipping it all to India so kids can climb up piles of this shit, trying to salvage what's ever left and getting cancer before they're 20.
Right.
So that's cool. I just so maybe I am a primitivist in the aspect that I know that the technology we have is shitty. So I guess, yeah, I'm definitely
I don't think
on the
technology
left.
That we have is shitty. I just think that we don't go about creating it or mining the resources for it in an ethical way. Not yet.
Well, I think we're manufacturing it way too often. Like we have too much of it.
Well, it goes back to the argument we constantly, well, it's not an argument, our agreement, our argument against capitalism, that there's always exponential growth. That's the main issue. It's capitalism. Capitalism and the exponential growth, continuous growth, constant growth. Like it's not good for the, it's not
132 million, 132 million computers were created this year and we're in July.
That's pretty insane.
That's just computers.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're just going through too much shit too fast. Mm-hmm. I think I love the technology. I just don't think yet. Like you said, we're not going about it in an effective manner.
Yeah. It's not, we're not being ethical about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah. So the left's biggest problem, the gatekeeping, the wokeness. And again, like being more woke than somebody, what does that get you?
An award. I hear you get an award.
Yeah, you get to self-pleasure yourself some more. Like I don't.
People love being on the moral high ground. People love that more than they actually love fixing the problem. They'd rather just be that moral champion. Like I was right in that argument. See.
So the real issue is with ego and people's egos.
Yeah.
Which is why you should read Carl Jung and do some shadow work.
I mean, we all have ego issues. We all have egocentrism. Whatever the word is.
Egocentrism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the word I was going to say, but I didn't know if I was going to make it up or not.
No, I believe egocentrism is a word. But as far as fixing it, I think they just need to be more inclusive. And I think especially when it comes to young men, and yes, young white men, you would be much better off trying to educate them and co-opt them rather than completely excluding them and calling them a part of the patriarchy and all the issues in the world are created by white men, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but you're going to turn people off. If
I have a question,
you do. Yeah.
I know we've gone way past the time of people's attention spans, but as a white man or what's perceived to be as a white man, cause I think you're half Native American or something. Or what are you? What are you?
I'm white and a quarter Native American.
Okay, so you're only a quarter Native American. So you're perceived as a white guy.
Yeah.
Do you feel targeted right now in today's atmosphere?
Do I feel targeted?
Yeah.
What do you mean by targeted?
By the left. Do you feel like a target?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's unfortunate.
But fortunately, I'm at a point where I don't care.
Well, you should care. I mean, it's sad that the left is outcasting white males.
I mean, to be fair, when I was younger, I grew up fairly conservative in a conservative household. My family is from Mississippi. So that shows you exactly how conservative it was. Yeah. I would say when it comes to especially my mother, she's always been a little bit more liberal minded. She definitely was a hippie. But we went through our conservative phase. So I was very conservative. In the 2012 election, I voted for Mitt Romney.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was just solely based on the fact that he was a conservative. I wasn't like super, super into politics. I was a little bit on the left, and then I had some bad experiences when I was on the left when I was about 18 with some like, again, some, I got woke scolded and purity tested and all sorts of stuff. So I was like, man, fuck these guys. They're ridiculous. Hmm. So I went more conservative back to my roots. I voted for Romney and Ryan, and I'm not happy about that, but Obama won, so that's fine.
Well, Obama probably killed more people than Mitt would have.
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
That guy was drone happy.
Mitt Romney also probably would have started a war with Russia, though. He was very Red Scare, part two.
Very Trump.
Either way.
Trump loves Russia. Never mind.
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't necessarily think that you should take a – I mean, that's a separate topic, but I don't think we should be super hawkish towards Russia. Like, I think it's a dumb position. I don't actually disagree with Trump on the way that he handled North Korea and Russia. And some of the stuff he did with Russia was actually pretty hawkish. It's just like the media presence around him and Putin and the left being fucking
– Yeah, just he still hit him with mad sanctions.
Yeah. But I was really conservative for a while. And then a lot of people who knew me, like I bought a house, I had a kid, and I started to get really, really progressive. Right around the time I met you, actually, was when I was starting to really develop a progressive ideology. And people like asked me years later, they're like, Kobe, you used to be so conservative. Like, what happened? And I was like, well, I had to go out in the world and live in it and grow up.
I know a lot of conservatives would say that's how they became conservative.
I think a lot of conservatives are usually sheltered by their parents and their parents' money. In my experience, I also know there's a lot of dumb, poor white people who also turn to conservatism because they might have some views on issues that leftists don't agree with, and they like people like Trump because like they idealize like, oh, one day I'll be a billionaire, when that's never going to happen. So I was pretty conservative, and then I became pretty liberal, and now I'm kind of out in the ether. I would be considered, like we said, very, very liberal. I wouldn't say that I'm a Marxist or a communist, but
I would. What's wrong with calling you a Marxist or a communist?
Like, just because labels. But wow. I don't necessarily disagree with the principles of communism or Marxism. I know that communism, when it's been enacted in the past before, hasn't necessarily worked out great. But there's certain ideologies that are definitely very pleasing to me when it comes to that. I just think that the state is ridiculous and borders are stupid.
Yeah, well, humanity's not evolved enough to think that way.
No, they're not. And I mean, that's been proven, you know, every time they've had communism as a political system, it falls apart in the end. So, but I would say as far as the left goes, yeah, I don't feel like if, let's say we had 500,000 subscribers, like let's say 3 years from now, we have 500,000 people watching us, which would be awesome. Unlikely, but awesome. I don't feel like most of our audience with some of the views and things that I espouse would be very liberal. I feel like a lot of them would consider themselves libertarians or maybe even left to right leaning. I feel like people who are pure leftists automatically wouldn't accept me because I hold views that might be a little bit contrary to them. And also I'm a white male. So anything that I say in argument to them is considered mansplaining. And, you know, fair enough. White men have held the space for centuries. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you guys. White men could shut the fuck up. But also, if you want to enact, you know, social and economic change throughout the world, you're also going to need white men on your side.
You need everyone. You have to be inclusive.
Yeah. And that's their biggest problem. It's the non-inclusiveness. And it comes down to an ego problem at the end of the day.
Yep. I think everyone should be left with the question of how do we fix this? Because I'm sick of having people that I respect bordering on love tell me I am something other than I am.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't, it's like they're not seeing me for me, which sucks. And that's always a shitty feeling. And no one ever sees you for you, including yourself, because you change during a day thousands of times. And
right.
No one's even who they think they are. But I think all the judgment should definitely stop, especially on the left, because like you said, when the right comes for us, we're going to be this disorganized glob of nothingness, not able to defend ourselves, not able to do anything
because
we don't agree.
Yeah.
On anything.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I don't like it. There's not a solution other than bringing awareness to it and pointing out the issues with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing else to be done because it's all about self-reflection and these insular communities that are protecting themselves. I say, if you want to have a community where everybody has the same type of ideology,
go to church,
or since we're in the new age, create yourself a Discord server or your own subreddit and keep members of your community in. But when it comes to broader systemic changes and stuff like that, instead of, you know, canceling Joe Rogan because he said that, you know, trans women shouldn't fight in women's sports, maybe be like, all right, I don't agree with you on that, Joe, but let's go get some Medicare for All. Let's go get an MBI.
I mean, isn't that just purely scientific?
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. They're going to get mad at you.
No, I love trans people, and I think they're just as equal as I am. I just think that if you have more musculature or more physical ability than the other people based on pure biology, that should be taken into consideration.
You're canceled.
I don't give a fuck.
Yes. If you detach yourself from your feelings, I think that's the left's biggest problem, is they have too many feelings and not enough. Just let's think of this logically. If you detach yourself from how you feel about trans people and you think of it in a scientific way of, all right, even though they are taking estrogen and hormone blockers and such, and they have transitioned into a woman, all right, there is still, if they were born a male at birth, there is still a certain bone structure and muscle structure to the body, despite whatever hormones they're taking, however they feel and identify as. Totally respect all of that.
Different center of gravity. There's a lot of differences.
There's a lot of differences in them compared to a woman who was born a woman. So is it an unfair advantage physically that they have over people who were born a woman if you transitioned? Yes. Objectively and scientifically, there is. Take feeling out of it.
I'm going to absurdly abstract this and put it in a different context.
There you go. Go ahead. Do it.
You have a super good dancing black guy that just identifies as being white.
Uh-huh.
And he is allowed into white dancing competitions.
Mm.
Do you see it?
Mm.
Have you ever been to a black wedding? I mean,
no.
The dancing is so much more complex and amazing and anything in a white wedding. I just think that, like, there are certain natural abilities and certain natural things that you are born with that you cannot change. And that's just how it is. I'm not anti anyone by saying that. And maybe my metaphor sucked, but I thought
it was. Oh, I like it. It actually makes me want to ask you a question.
What?
So there are now.
No, people... I can't keep up at the Black Wedding, if that was your question.
No.
I also can't jump very high.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. But I can swim. I'm aquatic.
So my question is, so we have this new phenomenon of, well, it's not a new phenomenon, but there's obviously body dysmorphia, and there's transgender people, there's non-binary people, there's LGBTQ+, there is otherkin, people who sometimes feel like they're not entirely human, they identify as certain animals or whatever. But now there's like kind of a new issue that the right will sometimes point out, and I think it's very, very rare. Of people who identify as like a certain age or a certain race. How do you feel about that? Like if I'm white,
right?
You know
how I feel. You know how I feel. I'm a scientist, okay?
If I'm white a scientist. And I feel like I am a black man, though, can I then identify as black, or am I?
You can identify however you want. That's my answer. Do I think that you are a black person? No. Would I ever consider you a black person? Absolutely not. I think it's different when it comes to gender, because that's deeply, I would say it's more to the core of who you are naturally than your race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you didn't feel like a man your whole life and you're a man, that's totally different than you being some guy that has dark skin. I have dark skin, but I identify more with white culture because that's what I was raised.
So how do we,
I would never consider myself to be white.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So how do we, so like that's obviously a point that conservatives bring up a lot. Like there was is it Rachel Dolezal? She was white, but she identified as black.
Yeah. That was nuts. That was creepy. Yeah.
And then, there's this guy in Sweden who was like 60 something and he wanted to be identified as like 40 something. And so like they'll point to these and they'll be like, all right, threw me off there. It's good. It's all right. I like it. They'll point to these and they'll be like, see, the left is so ridiculous because now like you can be whatever gender you want. You can identify as whatever you want. Now you're going to start being able to like change your race and your age, and there's no objective truth and blah, blah, blah. What is a good argument to that? Because I haven't seen anybody be able to articulate an argument other than that's stupid.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can identify however you want, right? So if you're that lady that says she's a vampire, or a lady that says she's a snake, or the man that says he's a snake, or you know, all these people that get all those implants and like cut their tongue in half, and like you can identify however you want, buddy, but it's still stupid to me. It's stupid, and that could be considered conservative or close-minded, but it looks stupid to me. I can't tell you it doesn't. If it looks stupid, it looks stupid.
Okay.
Period. That's how I would. I don't know how to fix that about me. Maybe that's ignorance, but it looks stupid to me. I can't change how I feel about how it looks.
Fair enough.
You know, and then what's his face? The Jenner that transitioned to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude still looks like a dude to me, and I'm just going to be real about it. I haven't seen a picture where that guy doesn't look like a guy.
But to be
fair, I feel like female to male transitions work a lot better than male to female transitions as far as appearances. You know, I have some male trans friends that definitely are just men.
Yeah.
Like I consider them dudes. They are dudes, you know? So it's like a lot of it is aesthetics, I think. A lot of it is based on aesthetics.
There are women who are born that are a little bit, they look a little bit more, they have a bit more of a masculine build. Like you can't really help that.
Yeah.
I mean, if if somebody's born a female and she looks a little maleish and you think that, like, that's how you think, I wouldn't be like, you look like a dude. Like, that's rude, but you know.
Well, it's like that dude looks like a lady song. That's just...
Oh man, this has gotten so off the rails.
But I'm a kid of the 80s. I wasn't born in the 90s where hypersensitivity was a thing. You know,
I don't think it's a 90s thing. I think it's a Gen Z thing. I think it's a 2000.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but if you look a certain way, I'm going to say you look a certain way. That's how I roll.
You're canceled like a fifth time now.
I don't care. If you look like a turtle, I'm going to call you a turtle.
All right.
Fair enough. All right. So what we've learned is we're both ignorant.
Yeah.
Everybody's ignorant.
Hey, here's another one. If you're a white guy that dances like a black guy, I will allow you to be blacker than me in my view of you. There are some white dudes that are blacker than me. I no problem admitting that. I've met them.
All right.
And I don't know. They might not identify as being black, but I consider them blacker than me. Like, things are complicated. Everyone should be allowed to have their own opinions. And I think we need to start including everyone into the fold that agrees with bringing down the fascist right. Hey, do you want to eat the rich? Do you hate the fascist right? You're on my side. Do you want to fix the planet? You're on my side, right?
I agree. I agree. Yeah. Again, I would much rather have somebody on my side who wants to fix the planet and go to Nancy Pelosi's house and, you know, cannibalize her.
She just did some insider trading with her husband.
I know. She's an awful human being.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them on my side and, you know, them say slurs than not have them on my side and have to go, you know, get beaten down by police by myself.
Because when you're beat by police, you don't want to do it alone.
No. That's how we're going to end that there. When you're getting beaten down by the fascist state, you don't want to get beaten down alone.
Exactly.
All right. So self-reflect, everybody. Are you being hypersensitive? Why are you being hypersensitive? Is it something to do with yourself? Is it something that happened in your past? Maybe you need some therapy. Therapy is a good thing. I'm going to therapy. It's helping me a lot. Obviously, I still have my opinions, and obviously, I'm still ignorant about some things. But people are ignorant, and you can't expect everyone to be pure. So do some self-reflection, get better. Let's get over being butthurt, and let's start accepting more people into the ranks so that we can end the fascist state, smash capitalism, and fix the planet. And then we can go to the stars once we're responsible and not let the billionaires escape to the stars, because that's wrong.
Yeah.
I know. You don't want to colonize Mars.
Well, okay. Like Neil deGrasse Tyson was saying how the you know, going past the exosphere, you're basically the width of two dimes above the surface of the planet. If you looked at like the planet as a globe in the classroom, like one of those, if you just held two dimes to the surface, that's how high they're going in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just trying to market off this bullshit. I hate that they're trying to sell it. But anyway, we're at an hour and a half.
Neil deGrasse Tyson also has a masterclass on like, I don't even really understand what he's trying to teach, but he's trying to teach people how to like realize like how you're not educated enough on a subject. And I'm like, isn't that a little subjective, Neil? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like recently he's been much more like, I guess, sellouty. Oh, there I go.
Well, no, he's always been like that.
Gatekeeping again. See, no. I'm also part of the issue.
I wouldn't cancel him, but he's definitely egocentric, and it's obvious he's narcissistic.
Yeah, he's obviously smarter than me about space, but give me a couple years and you know
he might be smarter than me. Period. I don't know, but either way, I can still detect his arrogance.
Yes. All right. So if you liked this, hit the like, share, and subscribe. If you didn't like this, hit the dislike, share it to show how ignorant we are, and subscribe so that you can leave hateful comments.
Yeah, you know.
I'm good with criticism. You want to comment and dislike it? Disliking it helps the ratio as much as liking it. And I don't know what we're talking about next week. Maybe we'll do something more researched. Or maybe we'll do another long form discussion like this, because this was kind of fun.
Definitely fun for us. I don't know if it's fun for the audience.
I think some people will appreciate it and some people are really going to hate it. But that's okay, because you're already being critical assholes. So now I gave you something to criticize me for.
Yeah. Not one person has come to me like, oh, no, that's not true. A couple of people have come to me saying we're informative, but not many. They're not like, hey, your show actually told me something I didn't know. It's like, no, your show's too long. I don't have time for it. And you don't stay on topic. And you should do this more. And you should have an intro and outro song. And you should do this and that and the other thing. It's like, okay.
I'm working on the intro and the outro song. Podcasts are supposed to be long, and you're not supposed to stay on top because then it's not entertaining. And you know what? If you can do it better, then make your own damn podcast. Otherwise, like, share, and subscribe.
And if you do make a podcast, we'll probably like, share, and subscribe it.
Yeah. You know.
I'll support your podcast, you critical asshole.
And it was on episode 14. They became bitter. All right. We love you all. We love you all. We're just messing around. We'll see you on the next one. And yeah, we'll see what it's like. Peace.